One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Because the life I already have for myself is so full and rich and exciting that I am only interested in bringing someone into all of this if you add something to it. So you're not competing with other men that I may or may not be dating. You are competing against my current life and whether or not I can see you in it.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a summer party tonight and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly slumber party for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, who is feeling so excited that we are in spring. Okay, spring is here. I'm ready for rooftop rosé, peaches with a little bit of goat cheese, almonds, a drizzle of honey. Okay, pear and arugula salads. I'm ready to really live it up, to feel the joy just radiating across my skin with every little bit of sunshine, but like measured sunshine that I get to have before I start sweating buckets. I'm ready to be a fucking sweetie in a sundress. Sue me. Listen, I'm ready to enjoy myself, okay, while I still can, before it gets to be 100 fucking degrees and I walk outside and just want to commit homicide on the first person I see. I am a hazard in the summer. No one speak to me. It is a danger, and don't even make eye contact with me, because bad things could happen to you. I'm like Bloody Mary. You see me in the summer and it's like, fuck, how did we summon her here? Get her back in there. And you don't even have to say my name three times while looking in a mirror, bathroom mirror in the dark. Were those the rules of Bloody Mary? You don't even have to do all that with me, okay? You ask me to go out somewhere and you like say it convincingly enough and then I'm like, oh, I guess I'll go. But then when I get there, I'm like, gonna be a bitch because it's so hot out. Don't invite me places without AC, okay? I can't control whether or not I'm a bitch if I'm hot. Which, you know what? I got so validated by my Aura ring this past month, I guess. It's getting to know me better the longer that I have it on, obviously. But my Aura ring, the like 2 weeks leading up to my period, kept telling me that I had minor signs going on. It was giving me a minor signs warning because I had an elevated body temperature for the 2 weeks leading up to my period. Now, that's not abnormal. Your body temperature does go up the 2 weeks leading up to your period. However, my body temperature raises so significantly that I basically run a fever for like the week leading up to my period. And I honestly felt so validated. I was deep in Reddit looking up all this shit about period flu is what they call it. But I guess some people literally run a fever the week leading up to their period. And I'm like, I feel so fucking seen right now because my whole life I've been like cranking AC year round. Like I am hot all the time. My body doesn't process heat well. I just get hot and stay hot. And to learn that there is like more of a reason for this other than just like, well, and this is, you know, this is a cross you bear. You're just hot all the time, okay? And you look red constantly. Like to be told by my Aura ring to learn to pull the data and be like, actually, it's directly like connected to my cycle. I'm like, fuck. Yeah, it makes so much sense. My body's just being a little bit of a drama queen. It's like, yeah, your temperature was going to raise a little bit, but because we live for the drama of it all, we're going to give you a fever. You're going to spike a fever leading up to your period. And then you're going to have a week of terror, a week of terror. So really, I only get like one good week in my body out of the whole month. And it's the week I'm in right now. Not to like fully let you in on the details of my cycle, but I feel like we've reached that point. Listen, I'm here every week. You're here every week. I can tell you what phase of my cycle I'm in, okay? My period ended yesterday. So now you're clued in. And listen, we can track my ovulation together. Adding in a little video clip for my visual lover girls because Bewildered is asleep on the heating pad at my feet right now and he is just looking so cute. Oh, look at those beans. Look at the beans, you guys. Oh, he's just so cute. How precious is this guy? So a couple weeks ago, I got really into Love on the Spectrum, literally binged all three seasons of the series in the span of like a week and a half, 2 weeks, because I was so fucking into it. And it is one of the only, if not the only, show about dating that has ever left me feeling genuinely curious and optimistic about dating. It just puts such a good taste in my mouth. I left watching that show being like, oh, and I feel awesome. And I feel like this show actually made my day significantly better. I was so charmed by all of the cast of that show. I loved all of their individual storylines and just getting to watch people authentically, genuinely date. Like, none of the bullshit, none of like, you know, so many like dating shows. This isn't like a, I mean, it's a dating show, but it's not like a dating show. You know what I mean? Which I kind of love. And I feel like Love on the Spectrum should be proof that like people want to see real people date rather than like these like superficial primed for reality TV kind of people date. I was so charmed getting to see real people date and go through the whole process. And I was so struck by how direct and straightforward and compassionate they were to each other and to themselves. Like, I just loved all three seasons of Love on the Spectrum. I was truly, deeply in it, sucked in, got in there, watched the whole thing, loved every second of it. And I'm so serious when I say that by the time I reached the end of the most recent season, I felt so infused with optimism that I think I was like, okay, I feel genuinely curious and interested in dating for the first time in like a minute. Obviously, it wasn't all Love on the Spectrum. I feel like my therapist and I have been getting in there. Okay. Me and Oliv, we get in there and we go to town every Wednesday, baby. Okay. 10 a.m. Bright and early, I wake up and I say, you know what I need to do? Unlock all of these traumas. We're busting down the doors. Me and Oliv, 10 a.m. on a Wednesday. I love being a morning person. Okay. I love waking up and getting right into it, ripping off the Band-Aid of this day, seizing the day, if you will. Arise and seize the day. Open the gate and seize the day. Don't be afraid and don't delay. Okay, well, that was a compulsive theater kid outburst that you just witnessed, and I'm so sorry you had to be there for that. Anyways, I feel like we've just been really unblocked. And by we, I mean me. I have been very unblocked recently. We've been busting down doors. I've been in some kind of flow state, if you will. All right. I just feel very unburdened and very safe and comfortable in myself right now. We've been talking about routines on this show. I've been deep in a routine. I've been really focusing on me, filling my own cup, what makes me happy. I just am loving this era of being me that I'm in right now. I'm really enjoying myself, enjoying feeling everything. And I'm just loving the person I'm becoming, to be honest. I'm just loving me right now. Just have you check this girl out, okay? What the fuck is she up to? I kind of am loving her vibe right now. So I think to be in this more safe and secure place just allowed me to really feel curious about dating when I was charmed by Love on the Spectrum. And as like a recap, just to like catch us all up to speed here, my dating life has been nothing for the last little bit here, all right? Obviously, for the last year and a half, I've been very intentionally single and not dating, trying to heal from heartbreak, move on at my own speed, and just sort of, you know, take whatever time that I needed to really process that ending and feel like it was confidently over for me. The last time I went on a first date was 2 years ago. And it was literally, I went on one first date 2 years ago and immediately shut it down because I was catching feelings for my friend. And then we all know how that went. And then before that, like the last time I went on multiple dates with any person, that was 3 years ago. So the person I am right now and the person I was 3 years ago are two totally different people. Like night and fucking day, two totally different people. And about 7 months ago, I made a video on my YouTube channel titled The Death of Dating Apps, which is a great video. I actually rewatched it this morning to be like, what did I say in this video? Because I would like to reacquaint myself, watch the whole thing and was like, she was eating when she said all that. Like, you know what? And I love when I have these realizations about myself, but sometimes I will go back and watch an old video of mine and be like, and she ate with that. Sometimes I'll give a piece of advice in an old video and I'll be like, thank you so much for saying that, queen. Like I oftentimes am like, she's spitting. And then I go back 4 years later and I'm like, oh, fuck. And I needed to hear that advice. Like my old self will speak to my present self so constantly. You have no idea. Life is a circle, babe. Okay. It's a big round circle. But obviously in this video, I talk about all of my various critiques of dating apps and why I am not on them anymore. And yeah, after rewatching this morning, I can confidently say I stand by every single part of what I said in that video. But there is one point that I want to expand upon because I think my opinion has shifted a little bit. So let's recap my own relationship with dating apps and sort of how we've arrived at the place we are. I think a lot of what I'm about to say to you is not going to be surprising. I think that the relationship that I have had with dating apps is not uncommon. I think a lot of people have this relationship with dating apps. I think this is the common relationship you have with dating apps. So this is not groundbreaking stuff, but like, let's lay it all out there on the table so we can really dive into this and dissect it all together, okay? This is what I feel like when we get into these conversations on the pod. I just picture us all at a big, long table standing up, hunched over. Basically, I mean, I guess this is like the vibe when you do like a massive 2,000-piece puzzle and you're all hunched over the table looking at the pile of pieces and you're like, all right, team, let's dive in there. You get this side, you get this side. Let's sort this baby out and make it look good inside our heads. I'm like, that's how I feel when we dive into this shit on the pod. I'm like, we're going to start with a lot of things, but just hear me out. Hear me out because things are going to start clicking and it's really going to all come together for us. Don't you worry, guys. We will get there. Dating app fatigue. I feel like having been on the apps from age 18 to however the fuck old I was when I stopped being on the apps 2 years ago, I guess, let's call it. So 18 to 26, I was on dating apps pretty regularly. Obviously, I took time off of dating apps at many points in time during those 8 years. I did my full year of no dating within those 8 years. I was on and off, but pretty consistently on over the course of 8 years of my life. And over the course of those 8 years, I found myself being frustrated about the apps for the same reason over and over and over again, which is just that a lot of people on the apps are not emotionally available, even when they claim that they are. Listen, avoidance love dating apps, okay? They can log on, get their little dose of validation, cosplay like they're ready for a relationship. And then when things get too real, when you get too vulnerable, when you let your big feelings be known, suddenly it's thrown back in your face like, whoa, this is fucking a lot right now. What the fuck? Yeah, we've been going on dates consistently for months now. And like, you like me? That's so fucked up and weird. Like, I was getting so tired of behaving super fucking normal, taking it real normal person style and feeling like a freak about it because I was coming into contact with so many avoidance and deeply emotionally unavailable people. All right. And I won't say that I'm completely innocent there. I think there at that time, particularly in college, there was probably a part of me that was drawn to people who only gave me a fraction of what it is that I wanted. There's some part of that chase that I probably liked at that time, or I felt like it's what I deserved. I felt that I needed to fight for people's attention. I'm not going to say that I just randomly happened upon a ton of people who were like that, though I do think the pool probably pulls in their favor. I will also say that I think there was a part of me that was attracted to people like that at that time because of where my self-esteem was. I contain multitudes, baby, okay? There's so much of me. And the other part of why I really didn't like the apps was the constant objectification and disrespect that comes from being on them, whether it is virtually, entirely virtually, that this objectification and disrespect is happening, or if we're taking it offline, the ways in which people come on to you or maybe feel entitled to your sexuality because you went out on a date with them. And that's not exclusive to dating apps, though I do think that kind of attitude does run rampant on them because, as we know, these dating apps are more so hookup apps than anything else, as shown by the data. Okay, it's a 50-50 split according to Forbes, the amount of people that use those dating apps for dating versus for hookups. So you can't really call them a dating app because 50% of its user base is not looking to date. So that was part one of just feeling like there was a lot of dating app fatigue happening. I had a lot of frustrations about being on the apps in general. And then there's like the larger part of it, which is the pressure to be on the apps, to be on the apps or off the apps, and to be like, treating dating like it's a side gig. And you're like, have to be totally fucking locked in to be on pursuit of a partner at all times. And I just don't like that. I don't like when so much of my attention is focused on like the search for love. I don't like how apps have gamified the search for love. I think it's bad, especially because the apps don't necessarily care about actually finding you love or making you a match. They care about giving you little crumbs of hope so that you will stay on the app for longer so they can make more money off of you and maybe even convince you to buy the premium subscription where they promise you more matches, better matches, higher chance at finding that thing we all want, which is this, you know, one true love, this romance that sweeps you off your feet. It's like they're playing into this very vulnerable and honest part of you, and they don't really intend to find you love and get you off the app because that their whole business model is fucked if they're successfully doing that, to be honest with you. I hate swipe culture. I hate picturing people just constantly on their phones every day, swiping through a stack of people, sorting them into hot or not, and just continuing to be in that habit every single day. I don't think that is helpful to actually finding yourself love, finding that right connection for you. I don't think it's helpful. I think that swipe culture is exhausting and it feels bad in our bodies. I think that a lot of us do feel that way, but we still go on dating apps. We still use dating apps because, one, it's really hard to meet people. Two, it's really hard to meet people that are single and looking for a relationship. And dating apps are a very useful tool in many ways to many groups of people. I know that I have, and I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but when I was on dating apps, I definitely felt like it gave me a boost of confidence that I didn't have in real life. Not because I didn't have the ability to feel that confidence in real life, but that the apps took away the most anxiety-inducing part of the dating process to me, which was figuring out if they were into big girls or not. If I'm going to meet someone out in the wild, there is a part of me that is like very aware of the fact that I could take a big swing and really miss. And that person could be cruel to me as a result of that swing. I feel aware of that. And so like, I think a lot of times the idea of flirting with someone at a bar always felt more intimidating to me because I was like, well, what if they're not even open-minded about me in the first place? And obviously I think they're a fucko for that, you know, but I don't know. And that's a big leap of faith and bravery to be like, well, you could disrespect the fuck out of me for taking a swing right now. And that is scary. That is scary. And so I think I liked dating apps because it took that part out of it. I met these people knowing that they found me attractive. When I was going on the first date, I already knew that we were vibing on a baseline level. You think I'm cute. I think you're cute. Okay, now we're going to focus on all the things that actually matter. And it took in a weird way, it took appearance out of it. I know that we talk so often about like dating apps being so superficial because we're swiping based on appearance, or some people are. But I actually found that dating apps kind of served the opposite purpose for me because we got it out of the way with first before even meeting. It's like, all right, you think I'm attractive. I think you're attractive. Awesome. Now that we've got that out of the way, that thing that would have caused me so much anxiety otherwise, let's get into the stuff that's actually fun and enjoyable about meeting someone. And obviously, a lot of that fear and anxiety about going up to someone in person and flirting and them, me not knowing if they're into big girls or not, that comes from a place of insecurity within me. And that comes from my experience as a teenager in high school, how I was treated growing up. It's connected to lots of things, okay? It's not necessarily the truth, though there is truth to it. Like, it's, there are fatphobes out there. People are dicks. It's not crazy to think that you could, you know, flirt with someone and they could, you know, react explosively because how dare you talk to me? You're just a fat bitch. What the fuck? And also, these are like highly dramatized, probably won't happen scenarios that only really exist inside my brain because I, somewhere back there, have internalized something about myself based on how I was treated growing up. And so I think that dating apps helped to relieve that for me, helped to relieve any kind of fear of judgment that I might have felt based on my appearance. It allowed me to not think about it. I just put up these photos of myself. I answer a couple prompts. And if you're not interested in me, you'll just leave me alone. Hopefully. You know what I mean? And if you're interested in me, we'll go on a beautiful, wonderful date and actually get to know each other as people. There was something about that part of dating apps that I actually liked. It was an anxiety reliever to me in that way. I can see the value in dating apps and also deliver some much needed criticism at times. Famously, the only dating app that I ever liked that I was ever on for long periods of time was Hinge. Still to this day, I think that Hinge is the only dating app worth being on. All the other ones, I say fuck that. And in this Death of Dating Apps video, at 17:44 exactly, if you're looking for that timestamp, I say, and I quote, "It feels like a big thing to say like, oh, I'm never going to go on dating apps ever again, but I don't foresee a time where I'll feel differently. I feel like I've sort of passed the point of no return with my relationship to dating apps. I think I've also realized that the potency of my feelings isn't as strong without the natural ramp-up period that dating apps remove. I think without that, I honestly enjoy the dating process less and my feelings aren't as strong." I go on to talk about the urge to re-download and how I felt like it only popped up as a way to satisfy my ego, which at that time was totally true because I was deeply hurt still and was not in a place to be dating at that time. But here I was a few weeks ago watching Love on the Spectrum feeling like, well, what if I re-download Hinge right now? What if I did? And what if I genuinely wanted to? not because I was looking to satisfy something in my ego, but because I think it would be genuinely fun and exciting to meet a new person. What if that is how I felt right now? And I honestly, to be candid with you, I sat here on the couch being like, kind of frustrated at myself for even thinking that. Like, there was a part of me that was like, well, you said that you were done with dating apps. And I'm like, yeah, and also you're very dramatic. Yeah, and also I think you're allowed to change your mind if you genuinely have changed your mind. And I sat and thought on it for a little longer, and I don't know how much of my opinion has changed. I think that a lot of my criticisms for the apps are exactly the same. I listened to the criticism. I rewatched that video this morning. And the whole time I'm like, yeah, yes and queen. Like, let's keep it going. I'm agreeing with everything I'm saying. I think maybe the only major difference is that the conclusion that I'm coming to as a result of the criticism is a little bit different. I don't want to be constantly on them. I don't want to be deep in swipe culture. I don't want to experience romance as something I need to be constantly locked into or out of. I'm on the apps. I'm dating. I'm not dating. Like, it's all in, all out, which I've talked about before. Like, this idea of like, oh, are you dating right now? And being like, well, what does that mean? Are you just asking me if I'm on the apps or off the apps? Like, I don't like this on, off, black, white, yes, no perspective on dating at all. I don't like it. The apps want to lure you in and keep you there forever, which is why I think you have to use them against their intended purpose. Though I'm sure you've already assumed it, I did re-download Hinge. I downloaded Hinge, matched with a few people, set up dates immediately, and then paused my profile. I went in, I collected a few single bachelors, and then I got the fuck out of there. I basically just used it as a discovery platform for 48 hours to find single, emotionally available, allegedly, people in my area, and then just made plans to go out and actually meet them. I don't want a pen pal. I have no interest in sitting here and swiping and making being active on a dating app a part of my daily routine. Zero interest in it. I want to get out there and meet people. So to use a dating app as a way to just literally find the people, search and discovery, pluck up a few of them, set up those dates, and then fuck off, I actually think that is a winning strategy. I genuinely think there is something to be said about using the apps incorrectly. I don't think that any of us were ever supposed to be like constantly available, constantly in pursuit of dating and love, and on this constant daily like swipe grind, going through hundreds, maybe even thousands of people in your city, sorting them into piles of hot and not. I think that dating apps can be a useful tool if we use them as that. Rather than living on the apps, what if we literally just used them as a like discovery platform? Get a couple matches, set up a couple dates, get fucking out there. Get off your fucking phone. I've always been the type of person that like I don't want to sit and chit chat via my phone. I just want to match with someone. Okay, you're cute, I'm cute, looks like we have some similar interests, let's just get out there and meet. I have no interest in sitting and talking to someone on a fucking phone. Don't text me, don't do anything to me. I don't want to speak to you via my phone. I want to see you face to face and just figure out if we have enough in common. So by default, that was already what I was doing on the apps. I was never sitting and talking to people for long periods of time. It was like, we matched, we set a time and we go meet up. And if that's not happening, I'm matching you. Like, I don't want a pen pal. I don't want someone to just like talk to me digitally and flirt with me. Okay. I've got enough reply guys in my DMs. I'm not looking for that. I don't need more of you. I'm looking for people in my area that are actually down to go on a date and see if there's a connection there. So I made a Hinge account for 48 hours, matched with a few people, set up those dates, paused my profile so I can't be shown to new people. This to me just makes so much more sense as a way to use dating apps against the way that they want you to use them, because they want to reel you in and get you to stay there, spend money on the premium features, do all that, to use it totally against what the apps are pushing for you to use it for, to literally activate your profile, be on there for 48 hours while they're pushing you all of your best matches in hopes that you'll stay. You're just going to take those best matches, set up dates, and then fuck off. Search and discovery, baby. Okay? That is it. I'm looking for single, emotionally available people in my area that I have a couple things in common with. And I'm looking to just get out there on a date with you, meet you in real life, see if we have a connection, just flirt and have fun and enjoy the excitement of getting to know someone new, of being, you know, able to introduce yourself to someone new and just enjoy getting to know another person. It is fun. Dating is fun. Listen, I've always been a woman who said I love a first date. I do. I love a first date. I love a little flirt. I love getting to know someone, starting from square one and being like, we have decades to catch each other up on. How exciting is that? When you feel like there's a spark, that even more exciting. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fun. It is fun to meet new people and see what the vibes are. And if I can utilize dating apps as a way to find those people without engaging in swipe culture or being constantly available on the apps, because now it's like, I'm not on the apps. I'm already gone. I was there for 48 hours and I left, babe. Okay. It was a pit stop. That feels better to me in my body, where I'm sort of avoiding the parts of dating apps that I didn't like while getting to utilize it for the part that I did. Does that make sense? Because I think at first when I was like, I do genuinely feel an urge to re-download dating apps, there was a part of me that was like, I feel bad that I'm changing my perspective on this. But then I was like, Maddie, you are a real human girl and not a robot. So you're allowed to change your perspective. You're allowed to change your mind. You're allowed to re-download your fucking dating apps if you want to re-download them. So I did. But I think under this new idea, this new perspective of how to engage with them, I actually feel so much better about it. Genuinely. So anyways, obviously my feelings on dating apps are incredibly complicated, as most of us are, probably. I don't want a roster or a constantly, revolving list of people that's just being replenished, one in, one out. Like, that's not what I want. I want to meet someone cool, get to know them, allow a slow burn thing to emerge, if that is what makes sense, and just let it grow organically. And if I meet that person through a dating app, I'm okay with that. And I am okay with that because I'm not engaging with the app in the way that the app wants me to. And that gives me a lot of freedom from all this nonsense. I'm scamming Hinge, basically, is what I'm saying. I am hacking them. Okay, yes. Me hacking Hinge. Hacking it. And like, to be honest, guys, I am really excited to date as the version of me that exists right now. I was saying to my therapist the other week when I was telling her about all of this, like, I've never dated as the version of me that exists right now, obviously. The version of me that dated most recently is very different than the version of me that exists right now. And you know that phrase where they're like, so often in dating, you think you're competing with, you know, the other potential men I may or may not be seeing. But in reality, you're not competing. The only thing you're up against is my current life and whether or not you add something to my life as it currently is. And I was on the phone with my friend Ellie a couple hours ago, and she was talking to me and just, you know, echoing a lot of the things that I was feeling. Like, it is so much more fun to date when you feel like you've already built yourself a house. You've built yourself a life. You have something safe and secure, your feet firmly fucking planted. To get to date when you're in a place like that, where it's genuinely like the bar is so high because the life I already have for myself is so full and rich and exciting that I am only interested in bringing someone into all of this if you add something to it. So you're not competing with other men that I may or may not be dating. You are competing against my current life and whether or not I can see you in it. And there's something so freeing about that, to be like, I don't know, in a space where dating to me is something that can just be like truly exciting and joyful. And it's like, okay, yeah, let's get to know each other and have so much fun getting to know each other. And this working or not working is actually no skin off my back, because my life is already incredible. I'm not, what did Ellie say on the phone? Ellie was like, it's so different when you're a little bit younger and you're dating and you're looking for someone to build with versus now dating a little bit older, feeling like, well, I've already built myself a life. I already have something built here, you know? It's so different to be dating when you have something built. Me 3 years ago was coming off the heels of my year of no dating. My year of no dating to me was like, that is when the foundation was laid. The bricks were starting to come in for the house that I have built since then. So it's like 3 years ago, me was in the process of building. And now I just feel, yeah, I'm a little bit older, a little bit more content with myself, a little bit more secure in my life and what I bring to the table and what I'm looking for in the life I currently have. I'm more satisfied. I'm just a little bit more of everything that I was 3 years ago. Does that mean everything is perfect? No, absolutely not. Does that mean that I am somehow above the insecurities and things that I've struggled with in dating in the past? No, I'm sure those things will come up for me again. However, I just feel very trusting of myself and my capacity to work through those things. I just feel good. I just feel genuinely excited to get to know new people and get to experience dating as the version of me that exists right now. Because I really like this person. I really like me right now. And I think that it would be really awesome to date me right now. So I'm excited to give someone that opportunity. I'm feeling excited about that, but perhaps that was a plot twist. Perhaps that was a plot twist. Honestly, it was a plot twist to me too. I didn't realize that was the twist that was coming until I was in the moment like, fuck. Do I wanna? Like, do I? I think I wanna. Here we are. Anyways, I've been on a couple dates. I'll save those juicy details for the Patreon. But yeah, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. I am looking forward to meeting new people. How exciting is that? Ah, I just love it. All right, let's dive into some audience submissions, people. Hey, Maddie, I submitted the falling out of love with your significant other / being okay without them submission on your episode with Robbie. First of all, I'd like to thank you for featuring my submission and for your wonderful advice. Y'all definitely gave me a lot to think about. But what you said specifically about the I'd be okay if they weren't in my life thing really struck me, because I have felt that way about every single long-term partner I've ever had. So now you've got me contemplating if I've ever been in love at all, because I have always felt like my partners added joy to my life, but not that my life would be joyless without them. I guess this is not a normal feeling in serious relationships, so have I never truly been in love, or is something wrong with me? Maybe I'm just not cut out for long-term relationships. Thanks again. Sincerely, a confused lover girl. So as a recap of this one, obviously you can go back and listen to last week's episode if you want to get the full lore on this one, but this listener submitted a question where they were basically questioning their current relationship for a multitude of reasons. But something that they said in their submission that really stood out to me was they said that they'd be okay if they weren't in their life. They think about not being with their partner and they're just like, eh, okay, that's fine. And that part really stood out to me because I was like, well, that seems like you kind of have your answer. I think if you think about your partner, if you think about the relationship you're currently in and you just think to yourself, yeah, I'd be totally fine if they weren't here. That to me doesn't say, okay, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. However, I think there is a big difference in being like, yeah, I'd be totally fine if this person wasn't in my life versus saying, I love this person so much. They add so much joy to my life. And also, there's so many other parts of my life that I have joy from. Like, all of the joy in my life wouldn't be depleted if this one person wasn't in it. That's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, one person can't be your everything. You should have multiple, you know, corners of joy in your life. People that you feel connected to and supported by, things that you're excited about, hobbies, passions. You should have many sources of joy in your life. It's not that, you know, your life would be joyless without this person. Let's take it out of the context of romantic relationships for a second and think about, like, with friends, right? Or family members or anybody. Like, and I don't even want to imagine this, but if I, for whatever reason, didn't have Ashley in my life, didn't have Morgan in my life, I think about that and I think that would be the worst fucking thing that could ever happen to me. I could not do life without them. I love them so much. I would be heartbroken. Would I survive? At gunpoint. I would have to. I would be forced to. But I would live with an unmeasurable amount of grief. I will survive the grief that comes with relationships ending. I will survive it, but that doesn't mean that I want to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to know a life without my sister. I don't want to know what this life would be like without her. I don't want to know what this life would be like without Ashley. These are two people that will be in my life forever. Ashley and I will be friends forever. My sister and I, we are tied for life, okay? That's my fucking girl. There is no universe where I would be okay without either of them. I would live with an unmeasurable amount of grief without them in my life. So when I point out you saying I'd be okay if they weren't in my life, that's because I don't know that that's something you say about someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Obviously, you have joy in other places in your life. Obviously, this person isn't the only source of joy in your life. But I think when someone is really significant to you, the idea of losing them brings up feelings of grief. And it's like, oh my God, I don't want to lose this relationship. I don't want to break up. I don't want, you know, this thing to end because I love them so much and I picture forever with them. When you picture forever with someone, whether it is a relationship, a friendship, whoever it is, if you are in it with someone, I think the idea of losing them isn't something that you would be okay with. I think that it would just feel like an insurmountable amount of grief. And listen, you can totally have different feelings about this than I do, but when I think about marriage and being with someone forever, I want that to be someone that I love at the same level that I love my best friend, my sister, my parents, my fucking pets. You know what I mean? I want to be with someone that I genuinely want forever with, that I look at and am so deeply excited and eager to spend the rest of my life with. I don't want to look at the person that I'm planning on spending decades of my life with and think to myself, I'd be okay if this ended somehow. I'd be okay if, you know, if they weren't in my life, I'd be totally fine with that. Like, I would survive it. I would get through it, but that's not something that I would hope for. You know what I mean? I've got so many other amazing, wonderful things in my life. All of my joy isn't dependent on this one person, but they are significant to me. And I love them a lot. And I love them so much to see forever with them. So no, I won't be okay if this thing ends. That would be incredibly heartbreaking. It would change the trajectory of my life in many ways. I wouldn't be okay. I would survive it, but I would not be okay. That's the difference to me. Like, yes, your partners should add joy to your life. And no, your life should not be joyless without them. It's not all or nothing. It's not so like all in, all out. Your partners should bring joy into your life. You should also have joy in other places. However, the idea of losing the person that you love, that you want to spend the rest of your life with, should probably upset you. And if it doesn't, I think that is worth looking into. So that's how I would expand on that. But good question. Thanks for asking for clarity there. Curious about your personal opinion on polyamory. Have/would you try it? This has been a theoretical discussion for me and my partner. We'd only want to do it one day if we're both completely on board. But some of the values in polyamory could serve as a guiding North Star for us. Love ya. Listen, I am as monogamous as they come. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I really am so deeply monogamous when I tell you there has not been one moment in my life where I've been like, polyamory, let's think about it. No, it's not for me. I am a monogamous woman. Yeah. When I tell you there has been not one point in time in my entire life where I've been like, maybe polyamory is for me. Nope. I know definitively that I am a monogamous woman. That is what it is. I think that sometimes people are curious about me in this regard because I definitely do have some takes that are more, you know, rooted in like relationship anarchy. I have a lot of opinions when it comes to like where we place our value in relationships, but that's more at the intersection of like relationships and friendships and how this like, you know, the hierarchy of relationships with your one partner being at the top and them having to have more importance than like your best friends, your siblings, your parents, all these other important people. I have a lot of criticism for that. I don't like that at all. But I think when people hear my takes about that, they start to think like, oh, okay, we got a little relationship anarchist over here. So you're into polyamory. And I'm like, no, nope, lost me there. Totally not on board for that. I am only interested in having one romantic partner, one sexual partner, one partner, one person in that regard. That's all that I want. Maybe I'm just a traditional woman in this regard. Literally, so much of myself is not traditional. I'm going to keep this one super traditional. I've just never felt the urge to, honestly. I do long for a like happy committed relationship with one person, and I would not place them on a pedestal above my best friend, my siblings, my parents, all these other important people, but they would be standing side by side, hand by hand with all of those other important people in my life. And that is different than some other monogamous people, but that is how I see it. My kind of monogamy is not a partner above all else. It's more about the village to me. But yeah, no, I am a one partner kind of gal. I'm an intense woman. Okay, we know that. I'm intense. I have big feelings. I'm just generally very me. Okay, she's so Maddie. I don't have the capacity to give what I give to a partner, to multiple partners. I don't have the capacity for that. I do the most. I be doing the most. I am very intense. And I think the way that I experience romance and my own sexuality, like I don't want to experience it with multiple people. I am completely full to the brim just with the one. You know what I mean? Like, I don't be having time for that. Yeah. So no, haven't ever been interested and would not ever be open to exploring that. Sorry to anyone that wanted to explore polyamory with me. Honestly though, like, I get why some people would question that. And also I just feel like if you have more than one conversation with me, you're like, yeah, no, that's totally not her vibe. But I do get where it comes from. If people ever are like, but what about? No, no. Didn't love that for you, not for me though. Hi, Maddie. After recently watching your video about going no contact, I wanted to know if you'd ever get back to being really close with someone you went no contact with. After I broke up with someone who's in my close friend circle, we went no/low contact, only texting when necessary. We still don't text. I can't allow myself to text him because I feel like it could get out of hand and I'll build this fake version of him inside my head. But I really want my best friend back. When is it okay to start contacting him again? Will we ever be close again like we were in the relationship? Your wisdom would be greatly appreciated. When I think about becoming friends with an ex of any kind, I'm like, sure, there exists a universe where that happens. I don't know if we'll ever actually step into that universe. It's a possibility, though. You know? Like, I'm definitely on good terms with many people that I used to be involved with in a very lighthearted way. If I see them at some kind of event, if we have a mutual friend that plans something and we're both there, we'll talk, we'll have a good time. If they, you know, if something amazing happens to them, I'm going to reach out and congratulate them. Like, I'm normal and like friendly with several people that I have been involved with in the past. I wouldn't say I'm like best friends, like close with someone that I used to be involved with. And that's not to say that it couldn't happen. I just think it would take a very specific set of circumstances to allow that to happen. And it's not something that I would directly pursue bringing to fruition. It would be sort of like, you know, the stars aligned. This is how things shook out. The universe brought us to this place where, you know, a friendship was actually birthed separate from the relationship. But I wouldn't specifically seek out building a friendship. I think it would be like a friendship occurred between us separately because of some other set of circumstances. But I wouldn't reach out to any of those people and be like, we should be besties. You know what I mean? I'm like, if we're going to step into the universe where I am close friends with an ex, I'm going to let that universe happen upon me organically. I'm not going to summon that into existence myself. But I'm like, there is a world where I could. For sure there's a world where I could. But I'm not going to be the one in charge of summoning that world into existence. You know what I mean? Like, some things you've just got to put your hands up and be like, whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be, will be. If we are meant to be friends, then I trust that when the time is right, we will find a way to be friends again. And I don't know that that way involves me, like, trying to make it happen or like rekindle something. I don't know. There's just no point in that to me. Yeah, it's too complicated. In due time, when we're both in different places in life, when things are really quite different, if we reconnect and find our footing as friends, I think that's beautiful. And I would welcome that into my life. I would be friends with people that I have gone no contact with, that I am, you know, was previously involved with on a deeper level. I would be friends with them. There is a universe where I would. Yes. Is that the universe we will live in? I don't know. I'm not going to force that universe to come to existence, though. That's kind of my take on it. I don't want to be so involved in that. I just want to kind of leave it up to chance and see where the wind takes me. Because I think if I'm getting too involved in it, if there's too much, I don't know, if there's stakes, suddenly I'm like, you sure you're just trying to be friends? You know what I mean? Like, I think I would be suspicious of myself if I was like, no, I just want to be their best friend. I'm totally over it. Yes. And I just want to be besties. I think I would look at myself in the mirror and be like, get real. You care about this way too much. With that, I'm going to throw it on over to the post show. We're going to talk a little bit more about dating. Got some things to talk about. So if you want to join us over on the Patreon for the podcast post show, feel free to come join us. Come join the Discord where we chat all the live long day. I love you guys so much, and I will see you next week's episode. Goodbye.
Okay, it's your turn. Truth
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.